Okay, so today I'm so happy. So I call you Mimi Sue.
Melissa is my real name.
Melissa.
Mimi Sue is what all my cousins, I mean, you've heard Sean, all of them talk. Mimi Sue, Mimi Sue.
Right.
When I was little, my first cousin could not say Melissa. So he nicknamed me because everybody would say Melissa Sue, Melissa Sue. So Mimi Sue stuck and it's there.
So cute. So that's how I'm going to introduce you. We have Mimi Sue today. On from rock bottom to badass, and we're gonna grab a little bit of your wisdom.
Okay, sounds fun. I'm excited. Can't wait to share the reason for the
Yeah.
grace. Yeah.
So, first question, who are you?
I am a mother. I am a loner and I am an enthusiast. But first and foremost, I am a mother, just trying to raise some gentle human beings. And I've raised some wonderful human beings. So that excites me more than anything. That to me is my legacy. You know, I'll never leave my kids millions in the bank. They're not going to have a yacht that mama got to name after one of them. But they do have a legacy of being a good human being. And that's what mama instilled in them. And that makes me proud, very proud. So that's who I
I'm already getting the cold chills and the
am.
goosebumps all over my arms. This is going well so far. That's like how I judge it. I'm like, if I got cold chills like throughout the entire thing, then spirit was there and it went really great.
Spirit is there. Yeah. I
Spirit
have a lot of that, girl. I have a lot of
is
spirit.
here.
It flows out of me some days.
And I was talking about the fact that you and I were going to do this podcast together with a friend, and I said, and she's got like the most beautiful soul. I cannot wait.
Thank you. I
Yeah.
mean, I feel like I do have a good soul. Because good happens in my life. And that's not going to happen to people that don't have good souls. And that's kind of the way I feel about it. You know, bad kind of stays with people that do bad, and bad souls do bad. And that's kind of the three-year-old breakdown version of it, but it's real. You know, that's the reality of it. So I feel like I'm a good soul for sure. I see
Law of
it in.
attraction in a nutshell.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's really real in my life, Rachel. The law of attraction, I never really knew the true version of it. And I still truly don't, but I know that the basis of that is active in my life daily. And so that has to be something good. And
I think that's 100% what it's like. Like you can read about the law of attraction, you can hear about it, you can kind of understand that how it works, but you don't really know until you've manifested some shit right out of like your energy. And then you go,
absolutely.
oh, that's my energy. I know for a fact I made this into existence.
Yes, and I can say that on several things in my life, past, present, you know, very, I didn't even know what it was. Like I said, I didn't know what it was, but I do know it's good energy because it comes right back to me. It has to be good. You know, the
Yeah.
good energy I give out comes back. It's kind of the Buddhist way,
100%.
Yeah.
So, as you know, this whole podcast is really about like recovery journeys in itself. And so, what is recovery to you? Like, if you had to define it.
It's a daily struggle, obviously. Recovery is just something you just live in life. I feel like we're constantly always recovering from something, whether it be the soda machine didn't have your favorite flavor. You got to go to your car mad because you don't get your Big Red. You're recovering from that. So recovery is something that it's a daily struggle, daily battles, but it's getting over something that has damaged yourself, really. Something that has just damaged your soul the slightest bit because you got mad because the Big Red's not available. My soul's damaged. I was expecting that. I wanted that. It damages my soul for just a split second. Or it could be your lover cheated on you. You got to get over it. You got to recover from his betrayal. You know, that damages your soul a whole lot. But recovery is just how we're going to get through it. It's every day is a recovery, really.
And I love how you incorporated the desire aspect of it.
Yeah, because that's
I
humans,
think
right?
so many people don't talk about that part, that you had an expectation, right? You had a picture, you had
Image, yeah.
of how something was gonna be. And then
Exactly.
it turned out different, right? It turned out the painful way that we didn't envision it to be.
Right. The slightest bit or the biggest bit, it's still a painful way. You know, a lot of that's how we interpret the things that happen to us, our reactions to everyday actions, or vice versa, really. You know, so recovery can It's a lot of aspects to that. A whole lot of aspects to that.
Yeah, it's multifaceted.
Yeah,
for sure.
It definitely is. I mean, I have recovered from an abusive childhood. I recovered from addiction to drugs. I recovered from addiction to Grey's Anatomy. I mean, the list goes on, you know, from not getting my big red. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like, to me personally, recovery is just an everyday thing. Always recovering from something. Minimal, huge. And really that makes our character, because how are we able to just get up and shine going through what we're going through? You know?
So how do we get up and shine?
Oh, girl. I mean, you know, that also is an everyday battle, because it, you know, the way you can handle something yesterday or for a week straight runs out sometimes really quickly, or it might last a little bit longer, you know. It's kind of like its own little addiction of finding ways to get up and shine daily. How am I going to get through today? Same way I got through yesterday. Same way I got through last week. I'm dependent on those ways.
Mm-hmm.
So those incorporate another form of addiction, because to me they do. I mean, you know, you're really going back to what you know works.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's drugs, sometimes it's shopping, sometimes it's whatever, but you know what works to get you through so you can shine every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning new ways. I really am. I'm truly learning new ways, because I'm not done. I'm not
so you're done. Saying we gotta mix it up.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. I mean, for just whatever works per person, you know, but for me, you know, a lot of the reason I get up and shine daily is because I have to. Not all the time because I want to, but I got certain people looking at me, and that's a big deal. That's part of that legacy that I was saying earlier. I got people looking at me, and if I'm not shining, they're not going to shine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just how it is.
Woo!
My kingdom incorporates a lot, you know.
Responsibility.
Girl, it is. It's a whole lot of responsibility. Yeah. All of my children are adults, but they still look at me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've noticed it. My youngest daughter, she's now an adult. She's 21. She has watched me go through some very traumatic events with people I choose to have in my life. And I watched her start doing it. It's like, I could not handle that. That's not part of the legacy I'm leaving. Mm-hmm. Hell no, it's not. No way, shape, or form am I going to be okay with my daughter looking at me and going, Mom, I'm just with it. Mom's okay with it. Because she looks at me for other things. Why wouldn't she look at me for that? Why would she not look at me for that? And I started recognizing her doing it. And that kind of helps me shine daily, really, because I know other people are looking at me. And I got to be something for somebody else. It's important.
Yeah.
It's very important.
It really is.
Extremely important. Yeah. And I recognize it in all of my children, you know. I want to brag for a second, because I've gotten 6 children through high school. All of them graduated. Yeah, so I'm very proud of my kids. Extremely, extremely proud of my kids. They're decent, great, wonderful human beings, and I can see their lights shining on other people. When I hear somebody talk about my kids, it makes me so proud, because I'm like, yeah, that's me. I did that. That's badass.
Yeah,
that's badass.
Yes,
that is badass.
Parenting's the hardest fucking thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, mine's
only 3, so I can't even imagine the trials and tribulations that will come between now and an adult person.
Yeah, it's so much fun though.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. So much pride, you know, so much, you know, so much of that too. The easiest way, I'm sure you've heard before, it's my heart walking outside of my body, walking around, beating on its own without my drum. But it's good. Love it.
I totally get what you're saying. It's the I'm going to do a biblical reference with the fruits of our spirit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Show is showing up.
Absolutely.
What we can grow in the world. Shows what we got going on the inside.
Mm-hmm. It does. It really does. Absolutely. Because I know that my kids wouldn't be who they are if they didn't get it from somewhere. You know, really. Home training, whatever people choose to call it. They got it from somewhere, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I look at my sons, how they treat their girlfriends, and just I'm all warm and fuzzy, because I'm like, yeah, you know, that's awesome. That's what I want to see, because they've seen that. They see mom setting a standard, so they're going to carry it over, just like my daughter. So it's good legacy stuff.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, it is.
So we've talked a lot about recovery, and you said that recovery is like the getting it through part.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been through that you've had to get through?
Mm.
Can you talk about what it is that you've had to recover from?
Yeah, absolutely. I can. I'm at a spot in my life.
I love that confidence. Yes. He's like, yeah, I'll talk about it.
Yeah, because it makes me who I am. Mm-hmm. And I don't have no regrets. I have
no regrets.
No regrets. I mean,
one letter?
No, not even one letter. Well, maybe that was that one. No, I mean, I have treated things in life, and I've had to, Rachel. I have had to because my higher power, everything that makes you who you are, all your characters, you know, all of that stuff, I've had to go through what I've went through to become who I am. And I'm not so much proud of everything, but I can defend everything, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the moment in time when I did what I did or chose what I chose, I can defend it. But I can't say I'm proud of it, but I can tell you that it was where I was at and it has made me who I am.
So just like being able to understand who you were, what you were dealing with, what was going on inside of you that led you to that decision.
Yes, absolutely.
It's been crucial.
Yes. You know, like a lot of women, one of the things that I've had to deal with was sexual abuse.
Excuse me, sorry.
Sexual abuse by a family member. And for a long time, I was not believed. People made me out to be this little lying kid who just wanted attention. But finally, years later, the truth came out and I was kind of vindicated. I was vindicated, but the damage was already done.
Yeah.
The damage was already done and there was no going back. Can you get that, girl? There was no, there was no going back and fixing all that. It took me a long time to heal from it because it was a family member and that family members just don't go away. You know, and if they do, then you got the family members that are left who either knew about it, covered it up, didn't believe, you know, whatever. You got some trauma left over. So naturally, I acted out. My way of acting out led to drug abuse and my own sexual abuse journey that I did to myself, you know.
Yeah.
At 14 years old, I was very promiscuous. I was doing methamphetamine, cocaine, and I just thought that my way to deal with everything was to hurt me, to hurt everybody else.
I love how brave it is that you would own that that there was sexual abuse that was self-inflicted.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say it like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just the reality of it. It was.
Like, I've had a lot of people say, like, oh, I made bad decisions or...
I made a lot of bad decisions, the majority of them led to me being in a position to where it was abuse, yeah. Sexual, drug, whatever kind of abuse
it
was.
Is that though?
Yeah, absolutely. And it was self-trauma. I did it to myself. You know, I put myself in those situations. A lot of people took advantage of me, but if I wouldn't have been there, they would have been able to take advantage of me. You know, that's just the bottom line of it.
Owning the part that's yours.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, narcissists love to put the blame on everybody else. And I don't know why that word has always stood out in my head of what that means, but I was not going to be that. You know what I mean? Like I'm okay with being a statistic, but I'm okay with owning it too,
mm-hmm.
You know? But I mean, eventually it took me years to get over things that happened to me that somebody else did and that I did. You know, a lot of it is self-guilt. Just trauma, you know, just being so mad at myself for what I did and how I did it and the people I hurt. Mm-hmm. There was no reason for it, but I did it. And again, it's made me who I am. So I have no regrets about it, you know?
Yeah.
And ultimately, if one thing would have went sideways, I don't believe that I'd be where I'm at. At 16, I got pregnant, a drug addict pregnant, and I was going to be hell bent if I was ever going to be anything like my mother. So I did get clean my whole pregnancy. I was sober, but I still wanted to be around the people and the things because baby daddy was. And so in order to have baby daddy, I had to cling to all the other stuff. Understand me?
Yeah.
Sit there with mad, angry, because I couldn't do the drugs, you know, and how dare you do them? So that led to more problems and it just led to more problems and more problems. And I was young, I was 16. Ultimately, that is my daughter who's disabled. And she's not disabled because of any kind of drug use that was on me. She lost oxygen during birth. I was just too small to have her. She got stuck in the birth canal and lost oxygen, and it led to cerebral palsy. So it is what it is. She saved my life. And I look at that because I will have her for the rest of my life, you know? So in turn, everything happened for a reason. If I wouldn't have went down the road, I wouldn't have had her, all of it, you know, it's a domino effect from there. The drug abuse is something that I have a really hard time still working past because it's toxic. At the same time, it hides what you're really feeling. We all know that's the whole reason for drug addiction is to not, right?
Yeah.
So whether it's alcohol or whether it's smoking a joint or whether it's taking a pain pill because my bringing back is killing me, it's still some kind of drug use, you know? So I don't want to say that it's like overpowering my life. I'm not torn up about anything. Mm-hmm. I'm not actively out there slinging anything. That's not what I'm saying, but I still recognize that I still look for ways to cover whatever it is, you know, mad because Queen of the South season's over, you know, like that expectation of how do I recover from that? You know, so let me just go get a drink, you know? And it's not that I'm an alcoholic. I might have a drink once a month, but it's that point of it covers it, you know, whatever it may be.
It's what you're using it for.
Yeah, it's what you're using it for.
Right.
So I'm still actively searching for that band-aid. Now it's a different band-aid than what it was 15 years ago. I'm not out here hooked on crack cocaine down to my last dollar.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different kind of band-aid, but it's still a band-aid all the same. Right. I just have more knowledge about those band-aids now. And so that's why recovery sometimes is just an everyday kind of battle. You know, I'm recovering from reasons to put band-aids on stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's still a journey, you know, it's still very much a journey, spiritual, physical, mental, all of it is. If I stop learning, I stop growing, Rachel, I just might as well just throw 6 feet on myself, 6 feet of dirt.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what my point is here.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure, it's not. And I've had to recover from some heartache, some heartbreak, some damn horrible ass men. You know, I've been in some abusive, toxic relationships, and I'm still healing from that too. You know, like that's still very recent trauma in my life. You know, and something like that would make me want to just put a big band-aid on it. But I got a legacy. So
can't face it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of the journey that I'm on currently, you know, is just being able to face something that cuts as deep as that one did, you know, or it's got that real, it's a different kind of cut than Speedway not having my big red, you know?
Yeah.
So it requires a bigger band-aid. How am I going to get up and shine with a huge band-aid wrapped around me? It's a struggle, you know, it's like walking a tightrope. But I'm getting it, girl.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, man.
I get deep, I know.
What? I'm like, you said so much, like, it just, like, negated, like, my next couple questions. So what helped you survive during all of those things?
Oh, man.
What got you through it?
Faith in myself. Me. I mean, just a lot of looking in the mirror, recognition, you know, really struggling with who I wanted to be. Obviously, my kids, they get me through a lot. My grandbaby, I mean, that kind of gets me through the day, you know. But
looking at who you wanted to be?
Yeah, looking at who I wanted to be. Everybody wants to be somebody, you know, like your book said, self-worth, you know, we're all born with it. But little by little, it gets kind of taken away.
Yeah.
You know, whatever reason. But who I want to be. I don't want to be a grumpy, old, mean, nasty cat lady, you know? I don't want to be that person. I want to be the little lady that lives on the block that everybody can't wait to come have coffee with,
yes. You
know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's kind of up to me to make it that way. The world's already made me bitter. The world's already done that to me. It's up to me now to just not show it, to not let it fester in somebody else. A lot of that dreaming, hoping, wishing, negotiating got me through. That's kind of going through that. I mean, addiction and recovery kind of work hand in hand with spiritual. You know, you got to have that higher power. And being a little girl, hiding because I don't want to be touched, I'm negotiating and praying and wishing for somebody to come save me. Guess what? Nobody did. Nobody came to save me. So that kind of fucks with you a little bit as you get older, you know, like, where was God? Where was God? You know, where was my higher power then? So I've learned, I've accepted that a lot of everything that I have to do is just putting faith in myself, not waiting for my knight in shining armor to come down from heaven and part the seas for me. You know, it's up to me. It's up to me. And really recognizing that and believing that it was up to me, that's kind of how it has to be. Because nobody's going to come save me. Nobody. But me. For real. But me.
So acknowledging your own power and that you can be your own superhero.
Yeah. I am my own rock star. I am my own higher power. And I know that sounds, you know, like, how dare she say that? But in reality, that's kind of how it is. I mean, I can pray all I want. I can wish and hope and negotiate all I want to. But who am I doing it for or with?
Mm-hmm.
Who's hearing me? Me? Me. That's who's hearing me. So get up and do it, Melissa. What are you waiting on? That's kind of how it is. What the hell are you waiting on? Nobody's going to come knock on your door and do it for you. You know? For real.
Yeah. Powerful. Powerful as fuck.
Yeah, I'm a little deep, girl. For real. I don't ever want to just talk about the weather.
Oh, no.
ever.
Thank God. So you said that spirituality was such an integrated part of your recovery. Can you go a little deeper?
Yeah. I mean, it all kind of comes back to having faith in myself, you know. So this is a very fragile subject. I don't believe in religion. I think that it's just some man-made bullshit to control people. We all got that little thing inside of us that says, don't you do that. You know that's wrong. Mm-hmm. What the hell are you doing, girl? We all got that little thing in us.
Right.
We all got that little thing in us that says, please say sorry. Please say thank you. Please. That's us. That's our higher power within us. And that ultimately is when you go to Bible school, you know, when you're little, that's what they teach you. That little voice in you is God telling you.
Mm-hmm.
So why can't it just be me? Why can't it just be me that's doing that? Because ultimately, that's who I go to for everything, you know? I mean, when I'm praying to me because I need to hear it. So I grew up Pentecostal, and that's a very strict religion, you know? And I've seen a lot of things that make you go, And as you get older, you really start going, And so that kind of, you know, it formed my basis of thinking of what's really out there, you know? What is really out there as far as higher power goes?
Yeah.
You know, and I'm by no means an expert on any religion. I just kind of know the basis of a little bit of something, you know? And I reference back to the Buddhists a lot because they really believed in themselves as higher powers. Yeah. You know, they believe you do good, you get good. Mm-hmm. You do bad, you get bad. And that's kind of where the whole karma thing comes from, which ultimately is really what religion's teaching anyways. You do bad, you go to hell. You do good, you go to heaven.
Right.
You know, so why can't we just look at it in a different context? If I know I'm doing bad, I'm either going to punish myself for it or somebody else is going to punish me.
Yeah, and I'm kind of a big believer that hell and heaven can be on earth.
Me too.
Because I've lived in both.
Me too, girl. Amen. Thank you.
It's a vibrational state. Mm-hmm. And I can lower my vibration low enough to be in a state of hell, and I can raise it high enough to be in a state of heaven, and I can do all that right here.
Yeah, so feeding off all of that, you said you can't. So ultimately, it lies within you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So see, that's kind of how I believe. All of that heaven on earth, hell on earth, lies within me. I can make my life hell. I'm good at it. I'm real good at it. I've done it before, A+. And I can make my life really, really good because I've done that before too. You know? I mean, you know, what's the difference between somebody being born in a third world country, broke to bad parents, but still being successful? You know, that was them.
Mm-hmm.
That was their higher power within themselves. Versus somebody born with everything, throws it all away. You know, it's not God doing that. You know, it's not devil doing that. It's you doing that. You know, that's your power. And that's kind of the way I feel about it, the way I feel about it. You know, I believe something's out there. Don't get me twisted. I believe something's out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a firm believer in that.
Right.
You know, it ain't the Big Bang Theory up here in my head. I believe there's something out there. But ultimately, when it's just within us. Within us.
Do you believe in utilizing your own personal power to make changes in your life?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I do, because that is how I'm going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they even if you base this off religion, God's only going to get you so far. He's only going to give you so much you can handle. You know, you hear these little
kind of make it easier.
Yeah. You know, but when you're doing that, you're getting faith that God's given it to you. So ultimately, it's still coming from you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, yeah, that's how it is.
I think it's, I think there's some kind of divine intelligence in that intelligence, that higher self, maybe us in spirit form or whatever. I don't know, but like, has like a divine plan for us. And, you know, when we use our will to say, I want, and I surrender to like that better option, like that's how we get to use our power to create good in our life, is yes. by saying yes to it.
Absolutely.
Like they're not really doing anything, but like having like a higher vision for you than you have for yourself. Right.
Right.
And then you go and, oh, there is a higher vision for me. And I can like jump into that if I want to jump into that vibration.
Yeah.
If that makes any fucking sense.
No, it does. I'm feeling what you're laying down. Okay. Yeah, for sure. Because it's almost like as if God's giving you the strength to do it. Yeah. God's giving you, you know, the know-how of which path to take. But
and we had to ask for it, and that's our will too, right?
Right.
There's all of this shit that's just kind of sitting there available for us. You know, God can't pull you out of anything, but the fact that it's the strength is available, the intelligence is available, the right, everything is available if, that you can tap into if you want to go access that super intelligence or that
right side of your brain.
Right. Yeah. There's like, that's what I feel like. It's like, you know, it's there waiting for you to choose it. It takes us.
It takes your will.
And God isn't like some big being that's sitting up there going, here, you can have some of this and I'll change your life and you'll have this. And right. But you're going to stay a piece of shit.
Right. Exactly.
Like that's not happening.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, everything's available for everybody out here. And when you finally get it through your thick skull, that it's available for you too, because you finally suddenly discovered your self-worth.
Yeah.
Then
you can have it.
Right. And it was always available to us.
Yeah.
That was kind of the shitty part of like discovering my worth, right? Oh, it was there all along.
It was there all along.
Oh, it was just me deciding that I wanted to play small forever. Right.
Nobody took that from me.
Right. No. I just let it go.
Yeah. Handed it off.
And chose to just live a shittier existence.
When I didn't have to.
When I didn't have to.
Yeah. And so that comes back to what we want. What we want for ourselves. Our beings, you know, however you want to go around it, it all comes back to us. And that's, I'm such a firm believer in you, you know, like, and that comes from a lot of being let down, disappointed because nobody come to save me. You gotta save it yourself, you know, for sure. God didn't make me burn that casserole. I did it because I was playing big old lit, you know. For real.
Oh, nothing pisses me off more than burning the food.
Oh, girl, I know, right? You're like, oh, the ovens must be messed up. Everybody enjoy. I'll throw it off or whatever I can. Feed it to the dog, though. No. I try to cook good. Try to put some love in my cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
That's like back to the law of attraction. I mean, if you can literally change the taste of your food and, by infusing it with the right energies.
Yeah, you can do a lot of that for sure. Girl, it's so relevant in my life. Like I never really knew what it was, Rachel. I swear I didn't. It's crazy that it's all kind of like part of my journey now is really discovering what that whole law of attraction is for me and how I'm able to do it. It's kind of scary.
Learning your magic abilities.
Yeah.
We all have it, huh?
Oh girl. Yeah, don't we though?
So you talked so much about like recovery over all these different aspects. So like, is there parts of your journey that you feel like, oh, I've got that part down, like I'm done there, I really don't think I'm gonna focus on that anymore, I've transcended that issue? And then like, is there anything else that like you feel like, oh, that'll probably, I may be fighting that one for the rest of my life? Like I know that there's things like that in me, like certain pains or traumas from the past, like I did the work, I got it done there. I'm not going back to revisit that thing from the past ever again. And then there's other parts, like maybe codependency is one that I kind of have to dip in and out of that recovery. Maybe I'll do good with it for a little while. And then I got to be like, oh shit, I'm doing that codependency thing again. Yeah. You know, and that one might be a constant battle. What do you feel? You know, I hear so many people say it's a struggle. You'll be in recovery for the rest of your life. But are you?
Just like addiction, I think recovery changes from what you're recovering from. Like what I said when we first started talking, mm-hmm. you know, just recovery because there's no big wreck. You know, recovery because you broke my heart. In some aspect, I think we are all in a certain recovery for the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
For me personally, my biggest problem yet has been getting over my past, but then letting new things bring up my past. As far as getting over being neglected and betrayed as a child, I have big issues as an adult with being neglected and being betrayed. And so when that happens again in my life, I'm betrayed and I'm neglected again, I can't deal with it how I dealt with it before.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go wrap up in a big band-aid. I've got to face this, because if not, I'm going to go way back. And I've done a lot of work to not ever go way back. Mm-hmm. I have become a whole brand new person with a whole new being and a new aspect of life, because I would never go back. So I struggle with that. I struggle with not going back and kind of giving that expectation to somebody that is close to me that they wouldn't do that to me. You know, if I let you in and you hear a little bit about what's going on and then you do that to me, what kind of person are you? But better yet, what kind of person am I if I'm going to keep allowing this to happen? Because I don't want anybody to take me back. And if somebody really loves me, they wouldn't want to take me back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really deserve to be in my life. They will not take me back to what I've already recovered from.
Right.
Or try to. But really, it comes back to me.
The why would you be even vibrationally attracted to the same kind of person?
Yeah.
If you've truly transcended.
Yeah. And so it's part of a journey that's never really going to end. Maybe that's what people are really meaning when they're referencing you never leave recovery. Maybe you never leave a journey. Because they kind of go hand in hand.
Of growth.
Yeah. You know, recovery is a lot of things. It's growth. It's changing. It's a lot of things. And mm-hmm. so is journey. You know, being on a journey to a certain path, your destiny. That's kind of our free will is our journey. It's our free will that the Bible talks about. Your free will to choose. You know, but ultimately we're all going to end up where we're going to end up at. Doing what we're supposed to be doing. I'm such a big believer in meant to be's.
Yeah.
I put so much of my faith in that. So much of it. It is what it is. It's meant to be. If I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. If I'm not going to do it, I'm not going to do it. It was meant to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my heart will tell me. My soul will tell me.
Yeah.
And it's really not wrong. That whole gut thing you got going on. Girl, every time.
Every time.
Every time. That's the one thing in my life has never let me down.
Talk about your intuition. Tell us about that. How do you follow? How do you know what is the truth? How do you have faith to can follow it? I know, and this is why I ask, because I remember learning to trust my intuition, and I would get these gut feelings about people and I'd be like, stay away from that person. Mm-hmm. And then I would do this thing in my head and I'd go, but you're being judgmental, Rachel. There's no reason for you to think that. You just met this person. Why are you being so mean? That's crazy. Give the person a chance. And then sure enough, they F you over worse than anybody else, right?
Yeah.
And you go, oh, I knew it.
I knew it.
I knew it.
My gut. Should have listened to my gut. Yeah. I don't know. I'm still getting past that. I mean, you know, that gut's there, but that little thing is that your head goes, that might be fun. You know, I'm human. I still go with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but ultimately my gut's never let me down. But
how does it show up in you? Can you talk about the subtleties? How would somebody else that maybe has zero clue how to trust their gut or their intuition? What are the things to look for?
I look for the universe to give me signs, really. I mean, you know, people say, you know, they look for God to give signs. Okay, universe up. It's going to show up. You're going to know. You're just going to know. You're just going to know. When you know, you just know. And I really don't know how else to explain that. For me, I seem to talk things into existence. I'm real bad about that, I guess you'd say.
Or real good about it.
Real good about it. I mean, it happens a lot for me. So I've learned to just kind of, like I said, that my gut is the one thing that's never let me down. I don't know if that answered the question or not, but that's kind of, yeah.
It is what it is.
It is what girl. I got a t-shirt that says that.
You know, you know.
You know, you know. I mean, you know. So recently, and I don't know if this is off subject or if it takes too far out, but I was in a very traumatic, abusive relationship. And because of who I am, because I give what I give and I give it my all, something really bad and traumatic or really big event or like a big sign from the universe has to happen before I go, oh, okay. And I'm just a hard learner. I'm a hard-headed learner. Mm-hmm. And it happened. That happened. Like the universe manifested something as I was talking about it. And it got me out of that very abusive, traumatic relationship. And so I'm still trying to learn why I'm able to talk things up like that. Obviously it's my journey. It's something's going on with me, you know, but I've recognized it a lot more. Maybe when I'm looking for it.
Or maybe there's a different question you need to ask about it. Like, how can I use this for the greater good? How can I use this to my advantage?
Yeah, I've definitely used it to my advantage, for real. I mean,
stop using it to my disadvantage. Yeah, how could I do that first? Let's just stop using it to my disadvantage and like stay neutral.
I mean, I've always been such a big believer in just meant to be, but when the universe talks to me, it has a very big way of talking to me, of getting me on the right path or saying, hey, girl, slow the hell down. What the fuck are you doing? And a big sign would be thrown my way, you know, like a rock hitting me or something to that matter, you know? Right. And I have to just go, oh, okay. And when I give it just about 5 seconds of thought, it all makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. Every bit of it. It just requires me to actually just put it in a different context. I got to step outside my own box into a different kind of box to understand sometimes what it is for what it's worth. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes me a little bit, but I'm still learning for sure. I'm still learning. 100%. But I'm so at peace with my own inner being that I don't think I'm going to get any kind of sign from the universe that's a mistake. That wasn't meant for me. If I'm able to recognize it, it was meant for me.
Ooh.
If I know it's for me, it's for me. You know what I mean? Like, right. If it's relevant in my life and it's happening for a reason, it's meant for me. So I don't think that anything that's thrown my way from my higher power, the universe, or however we want to explain it, is wrong. It's all been right so far. So
yeah,
I keep going with that. You know, for real. I'm learning about it.
If you have to question whether or not it was a coincidence or not, it's not.
It's not.
It wasn't
at all a coincidence.
If it was a coincidence, you wouldn't have paid it no freaking mind at all. You just kept on going with your life.
Right. And when things like that get thrown in, it's like, whoa, monkey wrench.
Right.
Big old monkey wrench. Didn't see that one coming. But so glad it's here.
Right.
For real.
So we've talked a whole lot about spiritual support,
mm-hmm.
and you supporting yourself, but who were those earthly supports? Who helped you here in the physical world?
Wow.
She's like, nah, you're gonna make me think about the earth.
Well, no, I mean, I'm just trying to pull from, you know, a memory bank. I mean, at different times for different situations, it's been ultimately different people.
Right.
Probably the one significant person I can think of the most, and probably because she taught me the most, which ultimately helped me, was my grandmother. She was mama. You know, she was everything. She had her own little spitfire country way of, you know, telling me how I was, mm-hmm. you know. Her favorite thing was, well, is your bed, you're going to lay in it. You know? And that context, but that context is so, wow. I mean, it's really, you make that mess, go in there and clean it up. Go in there and lay in it, dwell in it, whatever it is you want to do with it, but it's yours. It's yours. And that's kind of how she was with me from day one when she found out I was pregnant. Huh, now, you going to take care of that baby, mm-hmm. for sure, because I ain't doing it for you. You know, and that made me a woman. It made me hard. It made me like, mm-hmm. That's mine, you know, and she instilled that in me. So she helped me more than anything. She loved me. She let me love her. She was my favorite person for real on this earth. She was by far my favorite person. I lost her a couple years ago, but I know she's still here with me.
Yeah.
I know she is. In whatever realm she's sitting in, she's here with me.
I think she's all over this room right now.
She is.
After you talk about it.
I recently seen a medium and she came through. Actually, both of my grandmothers did. Both of my grandmothers came through. It was really one of those situations where I was blown out of the water by it. Yeah. And my daughter was with me. And so she was also just blown away by it. You know, so that's cool. You know, lets me know my grandma's still sticking around.
Super awesome.
Yeah, cheering me on, you know, for sure. I can hear her voice in my head.
So I love that you brought up, you know, her saying that thing about it's your bed. Because that's one of my favorite things I think about recovery in general. It's just all these amazing sayings and quotes and things that you gain along the way. Can you talk about some of your favorite, like, go-to quotes, mantras, things that, like, got you through the tough times?
I mean, there's probably quite a few I don't remember in particular other than, like I said, my grandma's words. I mean, I've used that in a lot of context in my life. A whole lot. I would go to her often for advice, and so her little old school wisdom would come back. But that was one of those things that I was able to take with me in life, and really that's kind of the only one that sticks out, Rachel, to be honest. I mean, I know there's quite a few of them out there. I would say, oh yeah, if I heard it, I would remember it, you know, but nothing more in particular than that, because it's kind of the ultimate. It's all on us. It's on us. Don't look for somebody else. Blame or come save you. It's on us. You made that mess. Go clean it up.
Yeah.
No. And recovery is a big deal about that. You know, you make a huge mess when you're in recovery or when you're in addiction. Recovery is about fixing your big mess. So it's kind of making your bed.
Yes, you know? Ma'am.
You're making your bed in recovery.
So if you had to give one piece of advice to somebody that was going through a rebirth situation like you have been on, if you could only tell them one thing, what would it be?
Don't doubt your inner being. Don't doubt yourself. Don't doubt what you're capable of. If you think it, yeah. That's two.
We'll take two. Yeah. So where are you going from here? What is next for you along your journey?
Happiness. I'm on a soul food search for some happiness that I can give me, but I don't have to look for somebody else. You know, kind of answer your last question real short. I seen a thing on Facebook that said, don't consider a person home. Don't replicate what somebody gives you as the feeling of being at home, because home is where you are. And if you let somebody else be your home, they can leave and then you don't have a home.
Woo.
And then you're stuck homeless.
Oh shit.
Yeah. So, I don't want to be homeless ever again. I don't want to have to be evicted or be looking for a new place to hang my heart.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So I'm going to just.
I'm going to tell that to every codependent client that I ever have for the rest of my life. All codependents, come see me right now. Go fix your life.
I got the words. I really just want to be at home with me, girl, for sure. I don't want to look at it for somebody else to give it to me. You know, and I'm getting there. I'm almost there. I ain't too far. Ain't too far at all. I got a couple more little things I got to work through, but I'm getting it.
Yeah.
For sure. And so on the other side of all that work is going to be some really good shit that I can't wait to learn about. I can't wait to see. I can't wait for it to happen to me.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. So
awesome.
Happiness is next.
Do you have any final words, shout outs, anybody that you want to name drop?
I mean, I want to thank you. I want to really thank you. Yeah. And I want to let you know that your book is really kind of, let me just put it this way. You helped me save my life. For sure. Like, there's some things in there that I hadn't really recognized and I'm pointing that way to my purse because books are my purse. there's some things that I'm learning about myself, and I've taken it out of maybe your context of how you put it on paper, but that's what I was supposed to do with it. I feel like I was supposed to feed off that. And that's kind of, it's enlightening me. And so I thank you for sure, because I needed some of that in my life. It showed up right on time, girl, right on time. It showed up. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you so much.
And everything happens like that in my life. Everything shows up right on time. So when the universe is calling something at me, I know it's for me. Yeah.
So and then of course I gotta move that compliment right onto God, because it was definitely a channeled experience to write that book. And I healed along the journey of making it.
I can tell. For real, I can tell that in what you wrote, that you were healing too while you were writing it.
And it everything comes across. That came out was like immediately feeding back in me to help me get through my shit. And
it comes across as that too. So good writing, girl. Good job. Because that's how it shows. I love that. For real. It's raw. Real.
But just like I said before we hit record, you guys. We were talking about being a hot mess and how that's how you do, you know, you become a success in life and you do great things in life. It's just by letting yourself be that human hot mess and showing up and saying yes, you know, to those moments along the way that you can feel our spirit, can feel divinely guided or whatever. And, you know, that's how the writing was too. That's how this podcast is when it, you know, when somebody says yes and is willing to come do it, I'm like, let's do it. And, you know, when I felt the urge to write, I was like, okay. You know, all right, God.
Yeah,
go to the keyboard. You know,
right, gotta do it.
Yeah,
you gotta scratch those itches. You have to. I mean, can you imagine being 80 years old and laying down your final time, going, "I'm gonna write that damn book"?
No.
Why did I not write that damn book?
No regrets.
Right. No.
I have based my whole life journey on. I don't want to have any regrets at the end of my life.
None.
That's like the name of this podcast, I think, today. No regrets.
No regrets. Thank you. Yes, absolutely. That's the best. Ever.
No regrets.
No regrets. None. Not even
one. Not even one letter.
Not even one letter.
And on that.
None of them.
Thank you so much for being here. This was like the funnest.
So much fun. So much fun. Had a great time. Thanks, Rachel, for inviting me.
I love you, girl.
Love you too, chick. It's been great.
This podcast episode is brought to you by my book, How to Wear a Crown, A Practical Guide to Knowing Your Worth. How to Wear a Crown is an easy-to-read guidebook that gives its readers digestible content and step-by-step instructions on how to increase one's sense of self-worth. It's a practical guide to knowing your worth that will allow you to dive deep into my personal experiences with learning self-love and gaining unshakable self-worth. It's a witty but intelligent book that will break down the intense process into four rules. 1. Speak to yourself like royalty. 2. Treat yourself like royalty. 3. Carry yourself like royalty. And 4. Honor yourself like royalty. Each category discusses multiple topics related to emotional growth and techniques necessary to drastically improve your self-worth and help you feel like you deserve more and better things in your life. You can get How to Wear a Crown, A Practical Guide to Knowing Your Worth on my favorite store in the entire world, Amazon.com. And it's usually available to ship within 1 to 2 days. So go check it out now. So thank you so much for being here and listening to my podcast. I just want to say that I'm really grateful and honored to be guiding you along your journey from rock bottom to badass. And if you want to see more about me and my work with my company I Am Raquel, then you could check out www.iamraquel.com, and you can see all of the stuff about my book, my blog. You can reach my I Am Raquel Academy from there. All of this stuff. And you can follow me at I Am Raquel. That's at IAMROCKL on all the socials. Well, I love you guys so much. I am really, really glad that you're here listening. I'm glad if you made it to this segment right here. Oh, you're a fucking rock star. I can't even believe that you did that. You're a fucking champion. But I wanted to tell you a little bit more. If you like this stuff and you want to see more from me, I would love that. So follow me on all the stuff. I am Raquel on everything. That's IamRockL. I'm on, I think, every social media that exists in the world. So you can follow me everywhere. I dish out free, helpful content all over the place, religiously, every day. And you can also check out www.iamrockhill.com. I worked really hard to make my website pretty, so please check that out. And from there, you can go to I Am Raquel Academy. I Am Raquel Academy supports this show. What it is my online school. That's right, I got my own online school. So it's a coaching school, so you can do self-coaching work by purchasing online courses made by yours truly. And it, what it does is when you purchase courses from me at iamrockhill.com, you support this show. It enables me to continue to make free, helpful content for people all over the world. So definitely check that out. All of the info that you need should be in the show notes. And I will see you guys later. Mwah, bye.